composite and mixed supply that we have discussed earlier, just to refresh our understanding. Composite supply involves naturally bundled supplies. So composite supply will include these products or supplies which are naturally bundled. One supply treated as a principal supply, and it is based on the rate applicable to the principal supply, the entire composite supply will be taxed. Mixed supply consisting of independent bundled items, so that means there are number of items and which are not naturally bundled, but they are different in nature. So all of them put together is known as mixed supply. So in case of mixed supply, the GST will be levied based on the highest value, highest GST rate applicable to the entire value. And this is how the taxation will happen in case of the composite supply and in case of the mixed supply. Other classifications of supply can be based on the recipient. So from the perspective of recipient, how do we understand the supply? So from the perspective of recipient, it is known as inward supply. So the recipient is receiving the goods or services. So it is referred as inward supply, referring to the receipts by the taxpayer. So he is the one who receives the product, the one who receives the supply, whether of the goods or of the service, he is the one who pays the tax. It includes purchases and acquisitions from the suppliers. Outward supply, referring to supplies made by the taxpayer. So outward supplies are the one which are made by the taxpayer. It must arise in the course of business activity. So remember, the supply must arise in the course of business activity for it to be defined as a supply. So the other classification of supply can be from the perspective of tax treatment. So from the tax treatment perspective, non-taxable supplies are outside the GST levy scope. So from the taxation perspective, you have a non-taxable supplies. So non-taxable supplies would mean the supplies on which tax is not applicable. Exempt supplies taxable at nil or concessional rate. So there are certain supplies which are exempt, or they may be fully exempt, or they may be partly exempt. So when they are fully exempt, the tax rate is going to be nil. When they are partly exempt, the tax is going to be at a concessional rate. Then there are zero rated supplies, including exports and SEZ. So the exports, you know, when a registered person is making export, so all these exports are zero rated. That means there is no tax on these supplies. Or if someone is even supplying goods to a unit based in SEZ, so that is also deemed as an export. And in such case also, there is no applicability of tax because they are zero rated. But remember, input tax credit is available on zero rated supplies. So that is what you must remember. So input tax credit will not be available in case of the exempt supplies. And why exempt supplies? Because since those supplies are exempt, and therefore the ITC tax credit will not be applicable. But as regards the zero rated supplies, ITC tax credit will certainly be available. Now, friends, we understand the job work. What is a job work? What is the meaning of a job work? And what is the scope of the job work? We all understand in our general understanding, what is a job work? Job work is a work which you give to someone, and that someone does their job for you, and that is known as job work. So you give a work. Let's say XYZ has got some processing to be done on his products. So he, XYZ, gives it to ABC. ABC does the processing and returns the goods back to XYZ after the processing. So this is a job work. So job work refers to processing goods belonging to another person. So now, in this case, ABC is doing the job for XYZ. XYZ is another person in this example. Undertaken by job worker on behalf of registered person includes treatment, processing, assembly, or completion. we all understand, because not all companies do all the things by themselves. All companies do a lot of outsourcing. So when they do the outsourcing is nothing but the job work that is being given by the registered person to another business. The goods which are given for the job work may be raw, or they may be semi-finished, or they may be finished, doesn't really matter. Process may alter or retain the product characteristics. So after the job work is done, it is possible that the product characteristics are changed completely, or it is also possible that it is still the same. Now this job work, friends, is defined under section 268 to under section 2 subsection 68 of the CGST Act. Input tax credit, meaning and importance. Friends, we have discussed input tax credit in sufficient time in our previous discussions. But just to take this opportunity to recap and refresh a very quick discussion on this. Input tax credit means credit of input of the taxes paid. Credit of input taxes paid. Applicable on goods and services used in the business, can be utilized to discharge output tax liability. So whatever input tax credit is available to me, I can use it for discharging my output tax liability. The input tax credit forms the backbone of the entire GST credit mechanism. It prevents a cascading effect of taxes and critical for the working capital efficiency. This is absolutely, absolutely critical for the working capital efficiency. So what are the eligibility conditions for anyone to claim the ITC? Can someone claim the ITC credit just like that? Of course, no. So there are certain conditions which are prescribed under the GST laws that need to be complied with for anyone, any business registered under the GST to claim the ITC credit. So what those conditions are? Those conditions are, number one, first of all, someone to claim the ITC credit, he must be in possession of a valid tax invoice or a debit note. What is tax invoice? I've already explained to you. Debit note, I'm going to explain to you as we move forward, but debit note is also a document like invoice only. But the purpose for which it is issued are different, and we will discuss that in another session. Actual receipt of goods and or services must have happened. There must have been the prescribed GST returns filed by the person wanting to avail the GST credit, by the supplier as well as the customer. ITC allowed on goods received in installments, that is possible. Supplier payment compliance within 180 days is mandatory. That means the supplier must have been paid by the customer within 180 days. So the supplier payment compliance is necessary. Otherwise, the credit will have to be reversed. No ITC if depreciation claimed on the tax component. So in case if the item which has been purchased and it is being capitalized and on depreciation is going to be charged by the recipient of the goods, then ITC will not be available. Time limit is linked to September return or annual return. So the ITC credit can be availed by the recipient of the goods, the ITC credit can be availed by the recipient within the September of the following year, or the return file, annual return filing, whichever is earlier. So that is the time window which is available for availing the ITC credit. So common ITC used for taxable and exempt supplies, also applicable for business and non-business use. Credit is allowed proportionately as per the rules, requires segregation and proper calculation, ensures fair credit distribution, and it prevents excess ITC claims. Then we discuss, friends, and understand what is the blocked credit. So what is a blocked credit? It simply means ITC credit is not allowed. So blocked credit simply means ITC not allowed. ITC not allowed. Meaning what? Meaning under the GST framework, there are certain products, certain goods, services where ITC is blocked. ITC credit is blocked. So what are the examples? What are those aspects where ITC is not allowed or they are referred as blocked credit? Number one, motor vehicles except specified business uses. So in case if you are using a motor vehicle for the purpose of the business, you can avail the ITC. But if you are using the business motor vehicle for the purpose of your personal use, ITC will not be allowed. In case of food, catering, beauty, parlor, health services, ITC is blocked. Club membership and fitness services, ITC is blocked. Rent-a-cab, life and health insurance cases, ITC is blocked. But I understand that recently the government was considering allowing ITC credit in case of the insurance policies when they were used for the business purpose. Works contract for immovable property, blocked credit, ITC not allowed. Construction goods and services, ITC not allowed. Personal consumption supplies, ITC not allowed, because personal consumption supplies are completely excluded from the definition of a supply in any case. Goods which are lost, stolen, or given as gift, in such cases also, ITC credit is not allowed. Meaning what? Meaning, registered person under the GST bought certain goods, and on these goods he paid GST, but these goods have been lost. So since the goods have been lost, the amount of GST that he has paid on these goods, he cannot avail ITC credit in respect of these goods which are lost or which are stolen or which are given as a gift. A very important aspect of the GST framework is reverse charge mechanism. Now, friends, what is the reverse charge mechanism? And let me explain this to you with the help of an example. Typically, what happens? Who pays the GST? Who pays the GST under the normal framework of the GST law? So as we understand, it is the recipient of the goods or services. He pays the GST, that is the normal course of business. But there are certain situations where it is not the recipient who will pay the GST. It is going to be the supplier who is going to pay the GST. Okay, so let me clarify it once again for the clarity. Typically, tax liability, typically we all understand that the tax is to be paid by the supplier. Tax is to be paid by the, so tax liability is with the supplier. In case of RCM, the tax liability shifts from the supplier to the recipient. So it is the recipient who pays the tax under the reverse charge mechanism. So, recipient of the goods and services is responsible for the GST payment. It applies to goods and services notified. Extension of earlier service tax provisions ensures tax collection from unorganized sector. So, what happens? Why the RCM has been brought into existence primarily? Because when you supply your goods and services to the unorganized sector. The unorganized sector do not really contribute to the entire ecosystem of the GST. So the reverse charge mechanism helps that tax collection from the unorganized sector also happens. This reverse charge mechanism, friends, is defined under Section 298 of the CGST Act. So to just sum it up, RCM, reverse charge mechanism, how does it work? What are the peculiarities of RCM? Number one, typically in case of any supply of goods or services, the tax liability is with the supplier of the goods or services. In case of RCM, this tax liability shifts from the supplier to the recipient of the goods and services. For example, XYZ is a registered GST registered supplier. He is procuring goods from an unregistered supplier. He is purchasing goods from unregistered supplier. Now, since he is purchasing goods from the unregistered supplier and he is the recipient of these goods, X will have to pay tax, pay GST based on the reverse charge mechanism. So what we need to remember, friends, is in normal case, which is known as forward charge mechanism. So normally it is known as forward charge mechanism, where the tax liability is with the supplier. And in case of the RCM, the tax liability shifts to the recipients. So what are the applicability and compliance that need to be done under the RCM? It applies on supplies from unregistered dealers. So as the example that I gave you just now, so if a registered dealer is purchasing from the unregistered dealer, in such case, registered dealer is the recipient of the goods from an unregistered dealer. So the registered dealer will have to pay the GST based on the reverse charge mechanism. Applicable on certain notified services also, and one of the services, so legal fees or the lawyer's fees is also part of the RC or based on the RCM. Sitting fees paid to the directors is also falls under the RCM. E-commerce operator liable in specified cases for the RCM. Recipient must obtain GST registration. Threshold exemption not applicable in case of RCM. Tax payable only in cash and not by ITC. So reverse charge mechanism tax has to be paid in cash and not by using the ITC credit. Time of supply and ITC under RCM. So what will be the time of supply and ITC under the reverse charge mechanism? Time based on receipt of goods or payment, whichever is earlier. So receipt of goods or services or payment, whichever is earlier. Linked to invoice date timelines, earlier of payment entry or bank debit, default to books entry if indeterminable, ITC available on RCM tax paid. So remember, friends, it is not that when someone is paying RCM, when someone is paying GST based on the RCM, he is not entitled for paying the, he is not entitled for availing the ITC. Yes, of course, he is very much eligible for availing the ITC credit of the RCM tax that he has paid. Now, you may question as to if he is only paying and he is getting ITC collection, ITC credit, then why have this provision at all? This is only to ensure that the unorganized sector is also brought into the system and is every transaction gets recorded in one way or the other. So credit allowed if it is used for the business. Another thing, friends, that we need to understand in the context of GST, besides the job work and the RCM, also the works contract and intermediary. So what is a works contract? Works contract involves goods and services. So when works contract is a contract, when you are doing something relating to the construction of immovable property. So when someone is doing something relating to construction of immovable property, that is going to involve the goods as well as the services. It is treated as supply of service under the GST. Composition scheme is not available in case of the works contract. So someone who is offering the works contract services, he cannot opt for getting registered under the composition scheme. Intermediary arranges supply between the parties does not apply supply on own account. So he does not supply the goods on his own account. Then friends, there is something which is known as input service distributor. So what is input service distributor? So there are large companies, and these large companies have got the operations all over the country. And so continuously they are doing the supplies and supplies, either they're receiving supplies or giving the supplies. And therefore, with a view to ensure that there is a proper distribution of the ITC credit in case of such large organizations throughout the country, and ITC credit is available by the units of this large organization, the GST framework has a provision of input service distributor. So what this input service distributor does, it distributes ITC of common input services. Head office allocates the credit to the branches. Distribution is based on the turnover ratio of the units of this organization, and a separate ISD registration has to be acquired for such a big organization. So an organization which wants to distribute the ITC credit to multiple of its units all over the country, it will need to separately obtain a registration which is known as Input Service Distributor Registration. And once it does it, it can distribute the input ITC credit to all its units all over branches, and thereby there's a proper distribution of the ITC credit. So location and supplier and the recipient determined by the place of business registration includes fixed establishments which will be specified by the organization. It applies where multiple establishments exist, as I mentioned. Residence considered if no fixed place is given. So that is how it is going to be registered as far as the ISD is concerned. So friends, with this we come to the close of the second session of our discussion about GST framework, and that is where we have covered various aspects relating to the CGST, SGST, IGST and UTGST. Thank you so much. Thank you.